Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to KUA's November 3rd regular board meeting. To start, please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We go on to C, approval of the agenda. Can I have a motion to approve today's agenda, please?
So moved.
Second.
Everyone in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone against it? I guess there is none, so agenda approved. Awards and presentations is next. Brian, please.
Madam Chair, we've got couple of items under awards and presentations this afternoon. The first is a presentation of the APPA Excellence in Public Power Communications Award, and here to present that is Tiffany Henderson, Director of Corporate Communications.
Good afternoon. On October 27th of this year, KUA received the nation's top award for excellence in utility communications from the American Public Power Association. The award was presented at the Association's Customer Connections Conference in Scottsdale, Arizona, and KUA received an award of excellence in the print and digital category for our 2021 Hurricane Handbook.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Looking pretty, thank you.
Okay.
Jeannie, a closer look. Manny.
Wait. So we've got a couple of service awards this evening. Some employees were able to be here, some were not. But the first employee we're going to recognize is Mr. Wilson Espinosa, Help Desk Technician in IT. 10 years of service.
He has to cut his hair.
I was going to say, he hasn't cut his hair in 10 years.
I'm sure Wilson has helped pretty much everyone in this room at one point or another.
Yeah.
Some of us more than others, right?
I think that's IT.
The next person we want to recognize, Victor, he couldn't be here, also a help desk technician, 10-year service award. He's going to be here in December because he's also our employee of the month for November 2021. Next, Ms. Danella Ocasio, customer service representative two with customer service. I'm going to recognize her for 15 years.
Wow.
Being an outstanding customer service representative, this lady right here can absolutely blow. She can sing.
Oh.
When I got here 6 years ago, you had done the national anthem at the employee memorial. I remember, and it was amazing.
Oh,
so just absolutely talented. So congratulations on 15 years.
Thank you.
Mr. Carlos Grande, a fleet service mechanic too in our finance and administration department, couldn't be here, but we want to recognize and thank Carlos for his 15 years of service to KUA.
Good morning.
Okay, I guess we go on to item E. Next, here the audience. Is there anyone here who wishes to address the board? Seeing and hearing none, we move on to consent agenda.
I move we approve the consent agenda.
We have items 1, 2, 3, and 4.
And 5.
Wait here a second.
I'll second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone against it? No. Hearing no noes, motion is approved. Next, we go to public hearing. There's none.
No, ma'am.
Now we go into informational presentations.
Yes, Madam Chair, there is one informational presentation this afternoon. The Osceola County School District, as y'all are well aware, is recipient of KUA sponsorship dollars. More specifically, there's a Educational Choices and Innovation program that benefits from that. And here to introduce the speaker is Director of Corporate Communications, Tiffany Henderson.
Good afternoon again. We have with us today Adriana Casillas. She's supervisor of the Educational Choices and Innovation Programs at Osceola County Public Schools. She's joined today also by Araceli, their family resource specialist. Their mission is to inspire all learners to reach their highest potential as responsible, productive citizens. The organization has received $5,000 in sponsorship funds from KUA in this budget year, and I will turn it over to Adriana.
Thank you so much for having me here today. Again, my name is Adriana Casillas. I am the supervisor of the Educational Choices and Innovation Programs in Osceola County School District. My coworker, Araceli Lopez Rodriguez, she's our family resource specialist. She goes all around the county contacting families and making connections with our community to make sure that they know about our choice programs. Our choice programs are there to make sure that the students are successful in school and that they find a school that truly has the interest and will go ahead and grow the talent that they have. So I will go ahead and go right into our presentation. We are a school of choice state. On July 1st, 2016, House Bill 7029 came to be, and it's the right for the parents to choose what school their child will be attending. There's no longer boundaries making a student be enrolled at a specific school. There is an application process, of course, but we make sure that the parents know through our fairs and other participation throughout the district in community events and other parental informational meetings that we have, that parents know that as long as a school has capacity, their child may be enrolled at that school, regardless of where they reside. It doesn't have to be their zone school. They don't even have to reside in Osceola County. We make sure that we have space available in every single school to receive students from other counties and other areas within Osceola County School District. We have to definitely recognize that we give priority to our military families, to children that have been placed in foster care, other students that have been court ordered to be in a specific school due to, you know, separation or a change in custody, and priority also to students that reside in Osceola County School District. As soon as July 1st, 2016, this bill was passed, our superintendent said, we are going to be a choice district right away. We had 3 months to come up with an initiative, and we did it, and it was a complete success. Our goal is to promote high-quality, innovative educational choices that meet the diverse needs of our students. This is how the Choice Fair came to be a few years back. Our goal is for the parents to meet our school leaders, our administrators, learn about new magnet programming, showcase all of our schools, have student performances and student art exhibits, and complete the choice application on site. Our application period runs from November until the end of January. However, it doesn't stop there. We do not limit the families to a period. It's just because the lottery is run at that specific time, but we have choice open all year long. We never know what our community is going through, what our parents are going through, so we make sure that choice is available through to them throughout the entire school year. We consider their situations all year long. This is what we call our initiative, our Choice Bridge. Our Choice Bridge, it's a combination of different factors. It is our choice marketing highlighting all of our programs, our choice website, and our CTE feeder patterns. Our H for choice stands for honing in. All of those schools that received the fewest applications. So we go ahead and we support those schools and we provide additional assistance to those families. And that's where my coworker here comes into place. And we do school visits and we call the parents. Are you okay? Tell us what's going on. How can we assist you? The O stands for outline project plans and goals, outcomes, and deliverables. We also take in great consideration the input of our principals because they are the ones that are implementing all of our magnet and core curriculum in all of the schools. Our next C is for compiling a list of needed resources, supplies, and space and people. Right now we had a huge, I was really excited because I participated in that project. We had a huge project of compiling a lot of resources that school needed. So we went ahead and we gathered all of this information from the principal saying, what do you need? We have some funding here. We want to make sure that we get something for your students to implement the magnet program that you right now have at your school. And the E is for executing and building the curriculum maps to implement the thematic programming. The bottom line is that we want to encourage students to remain in school, to return to schools if at some point they decided to take another choice, to build CTE pathways beginning in elementary school, and just create educational opportunities for all of these students by increasing their proficiency in ELA and math and science. Our purpose is to grow the community and grow the population in Osceola County. I just talked to you about the initiative that we have in regards to elementary school. We have 15 new programs that are being implemented. They're being rolling out softly this year and fully implemented 22-23 school year. For example, we have now over at the Deerwood area, we have the Junior Business and Entrepreneurship Program. We have here in the middle, the heart of Kissimmee, Cypress Avenue Elementary, bringing in Cyber STEAM studies. We have Boggy Creek and East Lake with Multicultural Arts. Flora Ridge, the new magnet program is Building Sustainability, Leadership, Talent Development, and Gifted Studies. And one that I'm really excited about is Rudy Creek Sports Medicine. And we have many, many others. For those students that are really into agriculture, we're bringing agri-animal science into Sunrise Elementary. So we made sure that all around Osceola County, we pick those schools that will bring a very unique choice program to the students. And that is just the beginning because this will go ahead and go into the middle school level and then into the high school level. So it's a pathway starting at the elementary level where the students are little sponges and they grab everything that you're teaching them the best way ever. Your sponsorship over the years have been absolutely, it's been incredibly helpful to us. We started with a very little fair at the Osceola School for the Arts, and I'll show you some of the numbers pretty soon. We have been able to get a bigger venue for our parents to feel comfortable. We've increased parent involvement. We've increased choice awareness in the community. We have been able to buy STEM manipulatives for the students. We've been able to create gear stations and then provide families at these fairs with refreshments. And I'm going to go ahead and show you just it's a little hype video that we call it, showing you more or less what the choice fair is all about. I know some of you are going to be there this year, but I just wanted you to enjoy this video with us. This year, we will be able to have a computer station for the parents to complete the choice application on site. They no longer have to do it paper pencil. We're going to have a staff there, a staff crew there, in order to assist them to complete the choice application right there and then, and they don't have to worry about it once they get home. It could be complicated for parents to go ahead and do it on their own, but we want to make sure that we facilitate the choice process to all of our families. I have some numbers here to show you the growth over the years of our Choice program. We started back in 2015 in our Choice Fair with 500 parents that showed up. Our last fair, face-to-face, in 2019, we had 5,000 parents attending. It was an amazing Choice Fair. Result of that, all of our numbers of applications for specialty programs have grown from 253 to date. We have 6,567 choice applications submitted between last February and today, or last November, I should say, and today for the current school year. Now, in November, we're going to start the new process for the 22-23 school year, which will be at the Choice Fair on November 18th. So there's a lot of growth. Families are getting to know what Osceola County School District is all about, and it's about having choices and having innovative programs for all of the students across the county. Since we have such a diverse population, we make sure that we have diversity in our promotional material. And this year, because we're innovating and we want to turn the entire district upside down with all of our innovative programs, we have created this great promotional material, letting the parents know this is a great year to gear up and attend the Choice Fair, complete your choice application, select the school you want for your child to attend next school year. For the first time, we have a special presentation supporting the magnet program at Boggy Creek Elementary and East Lake. They have the multicultural program, and we're going to have a group that is supported by Culture Builds Florida, and they're called the Escuela of Bomba y Plena Tata Cepeda. And this is, again, to support the community that is very into the folklore and into promoting the dual language, linguistic, and everything that has to do with diversity. How do we promote the fair? We use all of our social media channels, district and department websites, back notifications, mail outs. We use the Remind app of the district. We put in our school marquees, banners, our sponsors' websites, social media of local businesses, and we do a lot of radio, social media, and TV interviews. We want to make sure the community knows there's more out there for your child. It's not a cookie cutter type of education. There's a lot more. You get to choose, according to your child's interest, what school your child will go to. If you have any questions, this is my contact information. I am very honored to be here today. You guys have supported us for a few years, and it has been a great, great help. We have come with a few goodies, and we left them with Tiffany. But we also brought a plaque, so you could put it on one of our offices. Hopefully, I won't mess it up like this too much. And it says, presented to KUA in recognition of their continued sponsorship of the Choice Fair, Educational Choices and Innovation Department, School District of Osceola County. So we are truly thankful for everything that you have done for our district, and hopefully we'll continue to grow our choice programs with your support in the coming years. Thank you so much.
I think we have some questions.
Prints on it. Yes, ma'am.
If a parent chooses a different school for their child to go to, do they get transportation, or is that a responsibility of the parents?
It depends. So we have two scenarios. We have eight schools, which were our original eight schools prior to July 1st, 2016. Those eight schools do provide transportation if the parents are requesting that particular choice program. Perfect example, Chestnut Elementary, they have the STEM program. They provide transportation. We have two dual language schools, Kissimmee Elementary and Ventura Elementary. They provide transportation to the dual language students. We have our IB school, Celebration High School and Gateway High School. They provide transportation to their IB students. So there's eight particular schools and programs that provide transportation. Parkway provides transportation district-wide, just like Celebration and Gateway for the IB program. Thacker provides transportation to the IB program as well. So yes, we provide transportation if there are students that are applying to those eight the 8 original choice schools prior to House Bill 7029. Once House Bill 7029 came to effect, they took away the transportation. So the new programs that we have right now, unfortunately, do not provide transportation. They will be the responsibility of the parent. However, I'm happy to say that has not impacted our numbers, obviously. So once the parent knows my child is has interest in this particular subject, they make the effort, and I hear them myself saying, I don't care what I have to do. He wants to be in IB. I will drive. Or he wants to be in, for example, me. I moved my daughter from private school into Canoe Creek KA because she's very into animals and into plants. So as soon as I heard we were opening a magnet school for environmental STEM, I took her right away. I went ahead and enrolled her, and I drive all the way from Kissimmee all the way to Canoe Creek every day, and I pick her up. And she is happy because she enjoys it. And for me as a parent, that says a lot. I don't have any more that, mommy, I don't want to go to school anymore. No, she's up before me, and she's ready, and now we have chickens. So it's like once the student is happy, the parent will be happy. And this is what choice is providing the community, that opportunity to be out there learning something they're interested about. Ma'am?
What age do they need? What age do they make the choice? And another thing, what percentage of the school population is making use of this?
We have the program is kindergarten through 12th grade. Now, my coworker at Araceli, she goes out there into the community. She talks to all the private VPKs, and we pass out, of course, all of our promotional material. We invite them, we call them, and we tell them, here we are. It is time to make that decision to enroll your child in a public school that will have all of these different programs. What is your child interested about? So we guide them through all this process. And back in, I'm going to say 2019, we were able to accommodate 78% of our students that applied, of our applicants, in their choice school. When we first have the enrollment period, or so blessed, we are able to accept every single student, and we do our projections, and we do whatever needs to be done in order to accommodate those students that apply in that application period. Once that application period is over, then we start getting those applications on a daily basis, and we mark them as that. And as soon as a space becomes available at those schools, then we go ahead and start feeding from that wait list. Right now, the current school year, we are at 51% acceptances. Now, the acceptances, there's variables to this. At some of our schools, for example, Neo City, OXA, Osceola County School for the Arts, and the IB programs, they have eligibility criteria that the students must meet and pass as well. So the students must have, for example, a 2.0 GPA or a 3.0 GPA and must have a recommendation or pass an audition. So if the student doesn't meet those eligibility criteria for those handful of schools, then they are considered, you know, they have to remain at their zone school, or they could select another choice school and we'll grant them that choice. Did I answer your question?
I guess it's just kind of new. I just know.
Yes.
Well, some schools get completely overrun, yes, but by extra, everybody wanting to go to that school because their friends going to that school, so everybody wants to go to that school.
And yes, for example, we
I
have
can imagine a nightmare.
Celebration is the perfect example. Celebration K-8 and Celebration High School, they are the most popular schools. Even though we have no seats available at those schools right now, we give priority to those students that are in military, foster care, that they are, there's a court order in place, and there's always hardship. And there's a choice committee in place to review the hardship and then accommodate that student. We do that early enough so we are able to get the proper allocation to make sure those students attend their school of choice.
Thank you.
No problem.
They have to apply each year?
No.
So
once you're accepted, you complete the choice application once. Once you're accepted, that is your school for the until the highest grade level is achieved. There's no need to continue reapplying, and I'm happy to say that some students, some families decide to move out of county, so the choice becomes, if they withdraw from the school, it becomes null and void. And 2 months later, they're back, and they're like, oh my gosh, I have to go through the process again, and our school say, no, they're a student. Bring them right in. So we just go ahead and overpass that, and they just bring them right in because they made a choice, so we want them to be happy coming back to whatever they chose the first time.
Any other question?
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor to be here. You have a great evening.
I guess we're going to hear the attorney.
No, Madam Chair, we've got one item under K, staff reports. We've got the corporate communications semi-annual report. Ms. Henderson, again.
Yes. Good afternoon again. This is the corporate communications semi-annual report for November. And I just want to give a brief update on how our events are coming along. Since my last report, we've had several notable events, and as you know, we were on a hiatus due to the pandemic. So those notable events were the monumental 4th of July, October movie in the park, Viva Osceola, and then most recently last week was Boo on Broadway. And the monumental 4th of July, we offered free snow cones, the kids zone, and giveaways. Unfortunately, this event got rained out pretty early on. The kids were able to enjoy the activities for about an hour and a half before the severe weather came through and put everything on hold. Then things reopened around 9 o'clock, and so we were able to give out snow cones again for about an hour until the fireworks began. We also had our movie in the park on October 1st, and here's a quick recap video of that event. And so that ended.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. So proud of us.
It ended up really being a great event, especially after being off for a year. The community really enjoyed it. As you can see at that event, we offered free popcorn. There was a photo booth with a character from the movie, Raya. We also had crafts. You saw those kids decorating their visors. Inflatable activities, and of course the train was very popular.
Just one thing, looking at the crowd that was watching, wasn't it larger this year than it's been in other years? It looked like there were a lot more people than I'm used to seeing down there.
So that's actually what I'm going to get into. A great way for us to gauge the attendance is by the signed waivers that we receive, and that allows the children to get on the inflatables and enjoy those. So based on our signed waivers, we had about 400 children participate in those inflatable activities, and that is down still from October 2019, where we had about 1,230 kids. And obviously, we attribute that decrease to the pandemic. Attendance overall, we estimate to be about 2,000 to 2,500 people. And so we're still seeing about a third of what we would typically see prior to the pandemic. But even with, you saw the crowd was still, you know, it was still well attended. We were still busy throughout the night giving out popcorn. Viva Osceola was also in October 9th. We had free snow cones, crafts, inflatable activities. Kids were able to decorate their own maracas, which was a big hit. Based on the signed waivers from that event, we estimate about 380 kids signed those waivers, which is down again from 900 in October of 2019. The organizers of the event, which was the Chamber of Commerce, estimate about 5,000, a little over that 5,000 people attended that event throughout the day. And most recently, last Friday, we attended Boo on Broadway, which was a very busy night. Free candy and free giveaways from about 5:30 to 9 p.m. And that event was nonstop. And so this was, since the pandemic, this was our first indicator of an event sort of returning back to normal. The organizers estimate about 5,500 people attended, which is pretty big for that event, and that actually surpassed their pre-pandemic numbers. So this is the first event that we were at where we really felt that things were returning back to normal despite the pandemic. So despite all these events being outside, we are still taking some COVID-19 safety precautions with our staff to protect them and as well as the public. We are requiring masks for our popcorn station and our snow cone station. So anyone who's actively making popcorn will wear a mask or handing out snow cones or making snow cones. We also make sure at our KUA events, which is our movie in the park, to have appropriate signage regarding social distancing and face coverings throughout the area. One positive of some of the larger events being canceled is the fact that we are able to participate in some of the smaller events we have been this year. That allows us to have more one-on-one contact with customers, a little more intimate environment. So we're proud to have participated in some of these smaller events as well this year, which was the Thacker Avenue Elementary School Career Fair, the Sunrail Little Riders Market, that was over the summer. And then for Hispanic Heritage Month, we also participated in the Buenaventura Lakes Library Celebration. Our upcoming events, this Friday, we have our Movie in the Park event. The Veterans Day Parade will also be participating in November 13th, which we are very excited about. Traditionally, we haven't participated in the Veterans Day Parade. This will be the first year again since some of those other events were canceled earlier in the year. And so we thought it was a fitting event since we have so many veterans here at KUA. So we're excited to walk with some of our veterans in that parade next Saturday. Then we have our Movie in the Park on December 3rd. That'll be the holiday-themed version. And then the Festival of Lights that the city of Kissimmee is throwing on December 11th will also be participating in. And if you have any questions, I can answer them.
Right? Questions? Questions?
No.
Many, no?
No?
No? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Now we're going to hear the attorney.
Yes, ma'am. Good evening, Madam Chair and board members. Just a couple items for you. One, you may recall that we've had some regrettable situations in the past year plus where you had commercial accounts that were not paying their electric or their water bill. And basically, they were operating as almost, instead of a hotel or motel, which is what they're classified as, is more a residential situation, a landlord-tenant situation. You had all these families that were paying rent to these owners, and the owners weren't paying their electric and water bill, and they were having to be disconnected through no fault of the families. And it was a difficult situation. We've seen a lot of media reports about it. So the county has taken affirmative action, and what they have done is they passed an ordinance at the last meeting, and it doesn't apply to the entire county, but it applies to areas that impact us, most notably the East U.S. 192 CRA Community Redevelopment Area and the West U.S. 192 Community Redevelopment Area. And what they have done, they have said that if you change your use from a commercial to a multi-unit residential type dwelling, you must convert your master meter to individual unit meters in order to prevent customers constructively evicted, left without water and electricity, again, through no fault of their own. The Florida Public Service Commission has a rule which does exactly that, which applies to all the investor-owned utilities. So KUA has adopted internally an internal policy which does the same thing. If you want to establish a multi-unit residential community, that's fine, but you got to individually meter those units, just like the county's requiring. So we're hoping that that'll prevent more of these rather tragic situations that cause so much grief unnecessarily for folks. And then it's not much of an update, but we're still waiting for an infrastructure bill to pass Washington. We'll see if that happens. And I stand for any questions.
Questions?
Thank you.
You're the general manager.
Okay, you see your board reminders there. Tomorrow we've got Quarter Century Club dinner. I look forward to spending some time with some of our employees and retired employees that are part of that club tomorrow at the Holiday Inn. Then I want to point out December 4th, the KUA Holiday Gathering at the Embassy Suites. We're going to take that opportunity to do our annual board photo there on December 4th. So look forward to seeing you all then. And the only other thing I'll say is we've got our former chair on Zoom who's listening in today. Just want to say hello, Kathleen Thacker. It's good to have you.
Hi, Kathleen.
Probably muted, but she's on.
Okay.
Hello.
Good to hear y'all.
I hear her.
Yeah.
Nice to know that you're there. Here are the directors. Ray, any questions, any comments?
Yeah. As a board member, I'm also an alternate member of the FMPA Policy Makers Committee, and we just had a meeting, I think it was on the 20th, and I'm going to give you some news you probably don't want to hear, and this applies to employees, board members, anybody affiliated or living here in Kissimmee. It's the cost of electric is going up due to the fuels that are used to create the electricity. Natural gas has gone sky high, and it's just not fun, but it's we're going to see this, and I'm sure you're seeing it at the pumps, where we're around 325 to 330,
yeah.
And it may continue to go north, but we'll just have to deal with it until it comes down.
I'm ready
to share that, but thought you all might want to know.
And I've briefed each of you individually on this, and next month we plan on having Jacob Williams with FMPA, our wholesale provider, come in and educate us a little bit on the situation, what he's seen, how long we anticipate this lasting, and we'll follow that up with what that means from a financial rate stabilization perspective here at KUA for our customers.
Jeannie?
No, just happy Thanksgiving for everybody. I know that it's hard to believe that we're ending this year this fast, but have a safe and
wonderful Thanksgiving. If you're traveling, be sure and watch out for the other guy. I know you guys are great drivers, but not everybody around you is. So be careful and just have a wonderful time, hopefully with family.
Benny? You're the mayor?
No, just happy Thanksgiving to everyone and stay safe.
Thank you.
Did you say something already?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, you did.
Jumping in for you.
So we're all done. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much, everyone.